morning.
Oh, were you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, good morning.
My fault. I mean, there was no eye contact. It was easy for you to think I was just speaking to our listeners.
Yeah.
So let me run it back. Grand rising, Morgan.
Oh, goodbye.
Oh. No? No grand rising.
Thank you for tuning in to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. We'll see you next time.
Fine.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, how are you guys doing this fine Thursday morning? How art thou?
What's going on with your personal business?
Hello. My favorite question to ask. What's up with you guys' personal business? Quick question.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else out there watching Task?
Oh, boy. Whoa, boy.
Whew, I got to tell
you. So can I just say that I purposely waited?
Did you?
Yeah. I mentioned that it came out when it came out.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, we both saw this trailer. We are definitely going to watch this show. Mm-hmm. And then I purposely did not want to start it when it started. Mm. Because HBO is still a weekly drop.
That was a weekly drop? I thought that dropped at the same time. Wow.
Not even close.
Oh.
And I'm just, you know, anybody that's been listening for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
Understands. My brain is rewired.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be able to binge it. I want to be able to watch it when I watch. I want to be able to move to the next one because we have the cliffhangers meant to bring you back for a week. They're too much for me. Yeah. I can't take it. I need to know right now.
I get it.
And so I'm happy that we've watched it this way.
Yeah. Great show.
We only have one episode left. Is that right?
Two. Well, one in... nine, like 7/8.
I would not parse watching 1.5 minutes of the opening of the
sixth episode
as watching that episode. Okay. Or even a fraction.
So, all right. Okay. I'll just have to apply some math. Would you say 9/10?
Oh, boy.
14/15.
Why is that so hard to say? 15ths.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah. Heck of a show. Heck of a show. Yeah. Anybody from Delaware Valley or Greater Northeast, the tri-state area, would really, really enjoy that show. I think anyone would enjoy the show, period.
Yeah.
But there's just some, you know, oh, they mentioned this town. Oh, they mentioned this township. Oh, this little city. It's been great.
So for one, you got that going.
Yeah.
Ambush is watching and seeing all of the things that he recognizes, you know, so it's like, oh, that's root so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Getting off going to media or something.
Yeah.
I am impressed with the accents.
Oh, yeah.
That many of these actors have been able to accomplish. I think that most of the cast is foreign.
Yeah.
And then there are very specific Philadelphia and Delaware County
especially accents. Yeah, Delco accents as well.
That are regional, but then they are also cultural. And they, like, I haven't met any Black people from that area that sound like the white people from that area. Mm.
Yeah, that's real talk.
They're very distinct accents. And they're nailing them. A bunch of them are nailing them. Some that are maybe not nailing.
Yeah.
You know, they slip in and out a couple of times, but that's okay.
I mean, you got a detective on that show from my hometown. You kidding me?
That's right.
Yeah. Aaliyah.
And she Black.
Come on now.
They got a bunch of stuff right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got a bunch of stuff right. Where are you guys? Are we on the air? I'm 7 minutes in. I'm not seeing a text. I'm just saying I want to make sure that we're...
Y'all, listen.
Live.
I don't even know why y'all do this.
Going through the airwaves.
Y'all know how MJ is. She runs a tight ship. Okay? I don't know why y'all play these games. You should ask yourself, have I texted in yet? MJ's going to say something about it.
Did I say good morning?
Yeah. Come on. But yeah, that's what we've been doing with our time. You know?
Wow.
Tasking. What else have we been watching?
That's about it.
That's about it, huh?
With what time? This week has been, last week was the week before. Who knew? I'm still struggling. Yesterday was Lily's birthday, who you all know is my very special same. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even spend the day together.
No.
We're together every day working hard over at those parents' house.
Yeah.
And didn't get to spend the day, but I did get to have a wonderful dinner.
Yeah, that was great.
With both of our households. Two of my children. My first.
And your last.
Somebody asked me, well, they asked Lily and I, do you guys have kids? And I said, no, we have adults. And
that's good. Accurate.
And it hurts, though. Because I feel like I'm not even supposed to know somebody who's 26. You know? Sydney is 26. Like, what am I doing with that?
Yeah. Nah, for real.
Let alone was there when they were born, you know?
Holy smokes.
I'm not ready for it. Anyway, not going to bore you guys with that.
AJ said, I'm here.
Yeah.
I missed y'all Monday and grateful to be here today.
AJ, I miss you every day.
For facts.
I hope you're doing well. This week, last week, so jam-packed, as Ambush would say, JP'd. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing that is going to sound crazy, but like I could not find the messages of my text messages that I had not read. Mm. Like there, you know, when there's still a notification. Mm-hmm. I'm scrolling. I'm finding nothing.
In your regular text messages?
In my regular DMs. Ambush, I don't look at my DMs right now.
That's true.
And that's not to say there's many there. Please keep talking to me, y'all. I promise I'm gonna get back in there. I promise.
I thought that we had a filter at one point where you could filter and just have unread messages. Did they give it to us and take it away, or did I imagine it?
I have never known that feature in the iPhone. That sounds too efficient.
Yikes.
Sounds about Android to me.
Continue with your story.
Oh. Well, I finally found it, and guess who it was?
Who was it?
Rashonda! Rashonda, I just want to take this moment. I know you'll not hear this, but that's fine. I want to publicly apologize.
Oh.
For not seeing that message, for allowing you to be lost in my phone.
Wow.
We are friends in real life. A little bit of a soulmate, if you will.
Yeah. Dedications.
Yeah, I love you much, and I'm sorry that happened. We're back in business. I text you at 6:20 this morning, so.
Dibs. The name of the show you're talking about, I know it's not Landman. I've been hearing a lot about Landman, but we're not watching Landman. It's Task. I'm sorry,
T-A-S-K. We mentioned it.
Yeah, we mentioned it like in the beginning.
Way too early.
Yeah, Dibs. Task. Fire. Show was so good. So good.
This one says, what detective show from DER? Oh, Task. So it's on HBO. Mark Ruffalo is a special agent with the FBI.
Yep.
With lots of fresh traumas.
Oh, I'd say so.
Making him a little bit, you know, slower on the uptake, if you will.
Weathered.
Mm-hmm. Perfect word. And what a, you know,
yeah.
What an actor.
It's a far cry from Bruce Banner here, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, and Bruce has got his own traumas.
Yeah, he does.
You know?
Yeah, he does.
He's been trapped in bodies before. It's rough stuff and in space. Then got left over with Jeff Goldblum, you know, like, became a champion. Anyway, well, you're going to have to help me. Who the other lead is, I know him from Ozark. Crap.
Oh, Robbie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was Wendy's brother in Ozark, which is our next task, is to get Ambush to watch Ozark.
I'm going
to
blow right through it, guys.
Okay, this guy's name is Tom Pelfrey, if I'm saying it correctly.
Yep.
One thing I'd like y'all to tell me, if you watch this, and have you watched it? If you have watched it, let me know already. And if you haven't watched it and you're going to, tell me if you notice a different pronunciation of somebody's last name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
From the beginning, we've seen five full episodes. Mm-hmm. Within those five full episodes, I believe I have heard at least three or four different pronunciations.
It's true. And it wasn't until last night. MJ said it the episode before last night's episode, but it wasn't until last night when we discussed it. And I was like, if that is truly the case, and we've heard it three different ways so far, this is probably the best writing that has ever existed.
Most accurate.
In writing.
Okay.
In the written word.
The best writing of writing.
That has ever written. Okay? Ever been written or wrote it down.
Oh.
For someone to perform. It's one of those last names where...
I wrote it down. Now I'm a fan.
It's certainly one of those last names where when you hear it, you're not sure if you're reading it right. You're not sure if the person before you said it right. So everyone says it however they feel like it's supposed to be said.
Which is wild.
Which is,
and it's true.
Which is,
you're totally
so
right.
So accurate.
We call Rihanna Rihanna. That is not how her name is pronounced.
It's not her name. It's Rihanna.
And we won't do it.
No.
I try and do it.
Me too.
And then it feels foreign. It feels like I'm saying her name wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not. That's how you're supposed to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that
I
with Ambush.
I do know how to say her husband's name, you know, government name.
How do you say her husband?
As soon as possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Ooh. Set myself up for that one. Set myself up for that one.
I'm gonna laugh at that for the rest of the day.
How did I not see that?
I'm not sure. You were really thinking about it too. You were like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know his name. It's like Rakim or something, ain't it?
Naya. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be here all week, guys. But I'm bumped. Yeah, now?
Yeah. So, babes.
Yes, me.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we're gonna talk about a few things, Ambush. In local news, I think this is the second time that Hillsborough has had to declare a state of emergency after ICE is in wilding. And about and wilding in their community. So they're doing that again. Portland City Council says no to big algorithm.
I love it. I love it. I love that.
Big us. News, you know?
Love that for us.
Yes. And in national news, the... I know you think that we're going to spend a whole bunch of time on those EP files because Trump signed that law, but they ain't done nothing yet. So instead, we'll be talking about the Trump administration's move to shift education programs, just offload it to other agencies, because who needs a Department of Education?
Wild.
It's wild to me that people want these appointments. They want the job to then close
the department.
Mm-hmm. And then you don't have a job no more. But I guess when you're a multimillionaire, it doesn't matter. Is McMahon a billionaire?
I would say so.
I think they're billionaires. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there's an exit strategy for Linda McMahon to move into a different department. Or if anything, she can remain at the top of that department and just handle the contracts and... the other agencies, she can handle management of the other agencies that they've pushed the work off to. They'll just rename the department to something else and still make her, you know, she might even get a raise, actually, because they've closed the Department of Education. So now there's all this extra money and she'd probably get a raise in whatever her new position is.
Well, she'll just hand it back because she doesn't need the salary and she'll want that to go to the Department of Defense.
Got you.
And we'll just add that to our... coffers.
Cool.
I just realized that Linda McMahon is 77 years old. And this is not about to be any sort of ageist or age shaming. Please know that. My mother is 78 years old, and I am currently a caretaker for her. Yep. And we are seeing much, much, much progress, right?
Oh, yeah.
But also, I would not allow her to be in charge of breakfast. I don't want people that have no, like, actual, how do you say this? It's for different reasons. I'll say that. It's for different reasons. My mom's 78 may look different than Linda McMahon's 77.
Can I pause you real quick?
No, because I'm going to forget.
Okay, go ahead.
77 for Linda McMahon might be 52 cognitively, right? But she is a billionaire, so she's out. Like, she, what I mean, she's out of touch with the people that she's supposed to be serving. So she shouldn't be there in the first place. My mom is not, you know, like the executive function to be able to implement and, you know, do a plan. That's not there. So her reason why I wouldn't want her in charge is different. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just from a qualification standpoint, I see the comparison that you're
my
making.
My mom is more qualified.
Someone who actually spent time in education?
My mom has a master's degree in education. She absolutely is more qualified. My mom spent her last years before retirement working specifically with behaviorally, you know, challenged kids. And her understanding of how to get kids to learn far exceeds Linda McMahon.
Right. And you still would be like, maybe this isn't the position for my mom. However, yes. On the other end here, we have Linda McMahon, who's had a background in
promotions.
Right.
Marketing.
Right. I mean,
soap operas.
And that's who's running the Department of Education.
The secretary of the Department of Education.
I'll tell you one thing.
We will get to that story. Yes.
Welcome to chapter 9 of, actually, we're probably in chapter 37 of Project 2025. It's going.
Moving and shaking.
It's going.
Moving and shaking.
Sheesh. Ooh, boy.
Well, I don't know if you have seen any of these. How do I say this? Well, I haven't come up with a better way to make fun of the Meal Team 6, January 6th, guys.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at? I haven't come up with a better white ISIS, you know.
White ISIS.
American terrorists. They keep getting arrested. The goons that Trumpleton pardoned for the non-surrection peaceful protest of a perfectly run, beautiful government, I think, is how he would describe it. They keep getting arrested for new things, and the new things are bad, guys. Like, as if we can't, you know, put that together. Right. But another grim chapter in the Trump pardoned me saga is one of the rioters who got a pardon from Trump earlier this year, a 44-year-old man named Andrew Paul Johnson, has now been arrested on multiple child sexual abuse charges in Florida.
Of all places.
Well, you know. Johnson was picked up in Tennessee back in August and extradited to Florida. According to arrest records, he's facing a whole list of charges. Molestation of a child under 12, molestation of a child between 12 and 16, indecent exhibition, and sending harmful material to a minor.
Jeez.
The case came to police after two kids reported months of abuse. One child's mother, who used to date Johnson and had him living in the home, found inappropriate Discord messages between Johnson and her son.
Oh, no.
When she confronted her son, He told her Johnson had molested him three times between April and October of last year, starting when he was 11. And the manipulation here is wild. According to the affidavit, Johnson told the child he had been pardoned from January 6th and was getting a $10 million award for being a J6er, and that he'd put the kid in his will so that he would get whatever was left over whenever this guy dies if he kept his mouth shut. Johnson is pleading not guilty.
Oh.
I will say he was one of 1,500 people charged for January 6th who received pardons or commutations from Trump this year. Part of that mass cleansing of consequences Trump has been doing for his people. And this isn't an isolated case because multiple pardoned rioters have since been arrested on new crimes, from threatening to kill political leaders to plotting attacks on the FBI. As for Johnson's January 6th history, the FBI says he climbed through a busted window, caused chaos inside for hours, encouraged other rioters, and proudly called himself an American terrorist and a proud J6er. He pleaded guilty in April 2024 and tried to take it back, then got denied, and then Trump wiped the slate clean. And now he's sitting in a Florida jail cell on child abuse charges. Which Trump would love to pardon, but this is not
federal.
A federal crime so far.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he would love to pardon him. He would. It's interesting watching people kind of like wring their twist themselves in the pretzels trying to understand why the Republicans aren't moving with a heavier hand to match all the things they espouse that they care about. You know, we're draining the swamp. We're going to go after, wasn't Pizzagate about, you know, children being trafficked out of?
Oh, absolutely. You know. It was Hillary Clinton, Democratic cabal, blood,
you know,
sacrifices of babies,
all of that.
And also child sex trafficking underneath or in the back of a pizza shop that didn't have an underneath or a back.
Right. You know,
remember correctly.
All of that going on. And, you know, then we're watching people. Well, what is a pedophile? You know, what age of a child? We're seeing all of this twisting in the knots, right? I would like to remind everyone that wants to say to these Republicans, anyone on the right, you know, I thought you said you care about children. What's the defense? I would like to remind you that we are decades deep in school shootings and their response to children being unalived at their school during the daytime.
That they must go to.
Their response is thoughts and prayers. This isn't their response to school bullying. This is their response to children leaving this plane of existence.
Actually, I think that's also their response to bullying.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers. So if you think that children being assaulted is going to be higher up the ladder for them, no, 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 no.
Well, we're talking about a group of people who not only said they were going to drain the swamp and find all the peds and all the things. They said all of that knowing they were that.
Right.
They said all of that. The ones that weren't already in office, they were saying that knowing their friends are.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, their friends that are heads of companies are actually the swamp. That they know that they're lobbying, but really that just means bribing.
Yeah.
They know all of that. They're recipients of, they are perpetrators of. And all of this is just like, you know, theater for them. Yeah. Like they're for so many, there is not a real world consequence big enough that would make them stop being this way. At least that's the point I'm getting to, and I'm trying very hard not to become too cynical. But we elected someone who we absolutely knew had not just been accused of sexual assault. That person had been accused of multiple hard R's.
Mm-hmm.
I guess can't call it that, because the hard R belongs somewhere else. Yeah, I just don't really. It seems very diminishing to me. But this is a person we know that does not even close to understand the word consent, let alone believe in the rights of women, period. And then certainly not the rights of a woman you married, because then that's your property. And so you certainly can't rape your wife, you know, like that's not a thing.
Come on, you guys.
We knew these things before he was elected. He was on Howard Stern. And I'm not saying that everybody heard every single thing that this person said. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this is common knowledge. A lot of this is, or at least common rumor.
You bring up the Howard Stern thing, but he said it even more recently than that on like a daytime TV show.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. Like they were on the couch sitting together and he was like, yeah, he said the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
Was it like when he was running the first time? It was like,
it wasn't when he was running that he said
he would date his daughter.
Date his daughter.
Yeah.
But they were playing those clips when he was running.
Mm-hmm.
Those clips were there. Mm-hmm. And the way that people are able to just completely dismiss that is forever going to be wild to me. But it also isn't just that dismissal. It's those people who are dismissing that the person they're voting for is a sexual predator means that you don't care about sexual predators. That means you do not care. You are not worried about. You are not about to go to bat for the children. You're not going to bat for yourself, let alone going to bat for somebody else.
Yep.
Because this is a whole different, I mean, we cannot expect the group of people that we know have been doing these things to then, why are you laughing?
Because this, you and Michelle do this all the time. This is all you guys do. This is all you guys do. Michelle, good morning. People who are so invested in power over and domination can never truly condemn child abuse. It would undermine every supremacy logic they depend on.
She just says it better than I do.
This is just all you guys do.
She's able to do it in so many less words. And that, you know, that's where my envy lies.
Morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle.
This is every Monday night and every Thursday morning.
Yeah. Pretty much. There's also this one.
Uh-huh.
Happy Black History Month, fiance. What did I miss? XOXO Rudo.
Roots.
Well, you confused me because I was like, oh, it's Rudo. It's like, isn't it still November?
I thought it was
every
yesterday.
Month is Black History Month in Rudo's household, and that's why we love Harper.
Yes. Oh. Dang, son. Dang. Thought of you yesterday, my guy. I was in North Library, you know, doing some poster distribution.
Stalking you.
Well, I didn't see your bike outside, so I knew you weren't there. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Just on that, I didn't see your bike outside. I'm watching Welcome to Derry, and it's a period piece. I believe it's taking place in the 60s, this part of the storyline. And seeing kids riding bikes together, pulling up to someone's house or any random place, dropping their bikes and just running inside, I miss that.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, it's like, that's what we used to do. We used to just dump the bikes.
Dump it.
Just hop right off. Hop right off the bike on whoever's lawn. And, you know, we're running in the backyard. And those bikes are out there in the front. No one's stealing the bikes.
So I definitely have this experience as well. Mm-hmm. But then the house that I spent the majority of my childhood in had like a rock garden, so that it wasn't on the ground.
Okay.
You know, like it was higher up.
Mm-hmm.
And you could not leave your bike down there simply because
it's at the sidewalk at that
there's
point, right?
Only yeah. sidewalk. There's no, you know, lawn in that regard. So we would, because I also had like it was like a curved little stairway up.
Okay.
We would use my neighbor's stairs that were just like big, wide. It felt like you weren't going up the hill.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it was like,
okay.
Oh, this is great.
Incline was great.
We would use their stairs and then go to the back of my house and dump your bike
there.
In the back. Yeah.
Oh, man. Good time.
I love those neighbors. Jim and Sandy. They were, no, those aren't their name. It's Jim and Sandy was a dog that lived the next block over. And she used to meet me when I would walk to school.
Stop it.
Yeah.
She'd walk with you?
She'd walk with me.
Shut up.
And then she'd go home.
Sandy.
Yeah. It's a big old dog.
That's awesome. It was a big dog?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like a big golden retriever. Like, so big to a kid,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but yeah, she was so sweet.
Mm-mm.
And she'd walk me to school and then she'd walk home. And then she'd be on the porch after school. She'd walk me almost to my house.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Rudo said, ambush. We would totally litter yards with bikes. You know it.
Yeah.
Dropping bikes everywhere, bro.
It's a sign that you were popping.
Yeah.
Your house got a whole bunch of bikes in front of it.
What?
Hello?
It is cracking inside or in the backyard of your house if there are like six bikes in the yard.
There was also never, well, okay, I don't know, I wasn't an adult, but there was never a worry that someone was going to take it, you know, like that I could come out and it be gone.
Yeah. That didn't happen to me until high school.
Sounds about right. I mean, how many?
Someone stole a bike from right up against my steps.
Oh.
And you know how, you know where the back door of my parents' house is.
That's terrifying.
You've already come up the driveway,
past
the
basketball court.
Yeah. Past the backyard at the steps. That's where my bike was parked. I went inside to grab something to drink. I was in there too long, and one of the neighborhood kids stole my bike.
Did you find your bike? Did you ever see your bike again?
I caught glimpses of it.
Oh, dag nabbit.
Yeah. Because then that person claimed someone else stole it from them.
Well, yeah.
When they really were just hiding my bike.
Oh. Well, someone had to get around.
Yeah.
Mutual aid.
Man.
No.
It's a mountain bike. I really like that bike. Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. Whew. Okay. It's a bit traumed there.
Well, you know, a perfect time for a music break. We can come back refreshed, ready to go.
Ripping and raring.
With the latest.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back, you all. We're going to hit you with a music break. And we are back. Welcome back to News My Fiancé with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
Thank you for playing Quad One.
Heck yeah, man. I love that song. Super dope.
Same.
Whenever I play it out, people are like, wait a minute.
What is that?
Oh, not Quadrant.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I love Quadrant.
Yeah.
I got some jams. Got a couple of texts. One says, when I was getting ready to move to Portland in the 80s, I got a Michelin guide to learn more about the city. It said that Portland was a city where people left unlocked bicycles on the street at night because they knew nobody would steal them.
At night is wild.
At night is
wild. Overnight is wild.
That is wild.
Wow.
I don't know that I would leave the things out overnight, but that is, I believe that would be printed.
Yeah.
That was my childhood.
Yeah. That's dope.
I just don't remember the overnight. I don't think my dad would have ever allowed that.
Oh, you'd have gotten in trouble.
I would have gotten big trouble.
No, no black dad's coming outside and seeing a bike and being like, that I pay for?
Like, understand how much my dad was like, you're trying to get your things stolen from you. That he would fake
a theft. Yeah. And then be like, Morgan, where's your bike?
Which is traumatizing.
Yeah.
The amount of times. And he'd get me.
Didn't he? What was it with your radio face?
Yeah. So my radio detached. was stolen. And so I get a new stereo. I get the detached face one. And the reason why even my stereo being stolen for me didn't feel like a violation because I immediately thought I knew who did it. I was on the case.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I still think I know who did it.
Mm. Rapscallion.
Yeah. I ain't snitched to the,
to the popo.
But I did tell my dad, I think your nephew got mine. That's your nephew. He's mad at me right now, and now I don't have a stereo. Right. That sounds about Paul.
So then you got a new radio with a detachable face.
With a detachable face.
The technology that was top of the line. Listen.
Which was the way that you were not going to get a stolen stereo because you have taken the face of the stereo with you.
It's useless. It's useless.
So they can steal the little, thing out of the case and sure, but you got no face to play it. No face, no case.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, if you leave the face there, they could take it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you take the face off and put it in your glove box.
Not a good move.
It's going not with a good move. It's going with the teeth. My dad would I didn't put it in the glove box. I would if I took it out, I would put it in my bag. And I often forgot because I was a teenager. And my dad would come home and be like, hey, your car door is open.
Nick.
You leave that car door open, girl? Why is your trunk open? What are you talking about? So I'm running out to the car. Ain't nothing wrong with my car. Yeah, well, that stereo face is in there. I saw it. Nick!
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. That was my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he would still do exactly the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The detachable faces. I'm sorry. I'm going to circle back around to that.
Okay. No, hey.
Super. I mean, when the tech came out, I was like, whoa.
This is
groundbreaking. It makes all the sense.
This is groundbreaking.
Have a detached face now. And it was cool. I remember having, put it in your little case, take it with you. It kind of became like a status symbol. You walk into a place, put your face down. Boom. Put it on the counter. Oh, what you got there? Okay. Oh, Kenwood. Oh, JVC. Mm. Became kind of became kind of a thing.
See, I believe that that's true for,
young men. Mm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I was going to go a different place, but it all ends there.
Yeah.
So I could just, I could leave the making fun of you out.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You want to get into this local Portland news?
Yeah, let's do that.
I was just going to say something about, having the same things at the same time, but the age bracket's a little different. And so, maybe where you were, it was like a status symbol. And where I was, it just, nobody cared.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That works.
Yeah. Anyway, fiancés, Portland just made a major move to snatch the steering wheel back from Big Algorithm. Woo-hoo. I should just say Big Tech, but I like Big Algorithm.
Yeah.
Last night, the Portland City Council voted 8-2 to ban AI-powered rent pricing software. Ring the bell.
Thank goodness.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Real talk.
Those tools that, landlords use to scan competitors' prices and coordinate what everyone should be or can be charging. And listen, when the algorithm is coordinating, your rent is not winning.
No.
This vote comes as Portland rent keeps rising faster than wages. Local renter Ben Gilbert, who just saw his Northwest Portland rent jump another $200 this year, told reporters, quote, "We are in a political environment where rents are going up and wages are not matching." Gilbert was one of the dozens of protesters who packed City Hall urging the council to vote yes, and the pressure worked. The local vote also lands right as Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield and Senator Ron Wyden ramp up action on this issue at the state and federal levels. Oregon just helped secure a $7 million settlement with Graystar, one of the largest landlords in the country, so not BlackRock, but Graystar. And I wonder...
Sheesh.
One of the largest landlords in the country and the owner of at least 10 Portland properties over AI-driven rent fixing. Under that settlement, Graystar has to stop price fixing, quit sharing rent data with competitors, use court-approved pricing, and cut ties with RealPage, the software accused of fueling rent coordination. In other words, the city is saying, if you're going to set rent in Portland, you need to do it with a calculator, not a cartel-coded algorithm. You know,
it's rent collusion.
It's absolutely rent collusion.
Holy crap.
As the vote was happening, tenant advocates pointed out how widespread these coordinated rent hikes are. The city's findings show landlords have used AI systems not just for market analysis, but to raise prices in lockstep with competitors. Mm. On the political side, Tammy Carpenter, who's running for House District 27 in Washington County and Portland's West Side, said she's campaigning on stronger rent protections and called the council vote a step in the right direction.
Nice.
And just so we keep it all the way real, the council wasn't unanimous. The two dissenting votes remained. I mean, you know, honestly, I want to... I don't know how long that delay is. Yeah. I wish that we could just do a... Who do you think the two city councilors that didn't vote for banning AI software-driven demand pricing for rent?
I know you all can think of one of them.
I'm gonna keep going.
Okay.
I'm gonna do the reveal.
Yeah.
The two dissenting votes remained Councillor Olivia Clark and Councillor one Dan Ryan.
Oh.
Clark argued, "I believe we're sending the wrong message at a time when we need more housing." And Dan Ryan posted that this policy is, quote, "the last thing Portland's housing market needs."
Cool.
But the majority of the council and a whole lot of Portland renters disagreed. Bottom line, Portland is officially done letting artificial intelligence tinker with people's housing stability, at least for now. And the city has said that loud and clear. Rent should be based on reality, not depend on a spreadsheet with cherry-picked data or a robot that's never paid a light bill, and certainly not an algorithm trained on greed.
It's so wild. This is not, what do they say? The last thing Portland's housing market needs. That's what Dan Ryan says.
Yeah, Dan Ryan said the last thing Portland's housing market needs is stability.
Right.
is rent protections for tenants. The last thing this housing market needs is the ability for those tenants to pay rent.
Right. The last thing this housing market needs is affordability.
I mean, honestly.
Wow. Wow.
Cost of living is nothing, right? Because the city's on fire because, I don't know, 2020?
I mean.
And so they should all just be paying us to live here, right?
The unapologetic just... in your face protections for landlords and developers from Dan Ryan specifically is gobsmacking. Like, are you here to serve the people who are unhoused? Are you here to serve the citizens who can't afford to live in this housing?
No.
Or are you here to protect the market?
Yes. Well, like developers.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Owners. Capital.
What on earth? What on earth? See yourself out, bro. See yourself out. Please.
And here's the thing. He's not going to see himself out.
Absolutely
we
not.
We absolutely have to quit playing and recognize who these people are. They continue. Dan Ryan been telling us who he is since he started.
Facts.
Dan Ryan has told us, I am not actually for you. Over and over and over again.
He'd be like, you don't believe me? Watch.
Watch. Watch.
Watch.
He votes against our interest every single chance he gets. And then is weaponizes his identity to be able to relate to folks. And it's that is what white folks accuse black and brown people of doing all the time, weaponizing their identities. Mm-hmm. When in actuality, who makes identities weapons?
Hello.
But anyway,
yeah,
here we are with a city councilor, two, who think that it's more important to allow developers to make money, to allow landlords to gouge us, to allow especially these multi, you know, building owners or
property
owners. Yeah. Jeez Louise, why? Thank you. Did not come up. I was like, what do they call it? It's those people that are in need of protection. It's those folks who have a right to make a profit.
Gotta be kidding.
That you gotta protect. And we're in such a like most ridiculous like purgatory of economic collapse right now.
Yeah, for sure.
We're just teetering. We're just almost there if you're not already, you know? And as a collective, this is about to bottom out.
Yep.
Completely hard. Driven by other people's greed for themselves and a handful of other people to get more, and we can all just die. And I am not saying that as to be dramatic. I mean it.
That's how they feel.
Wholeheartedly.
Because that in itself is another industry that they can get paid from. Our death. AJ said, algorithm trained on greed. I'm obsessed with this line.
Sometimes I'll be writing, girl.
Michelle said, I can't get past just saying out loud that you think AI rent fixing is somehow good for the housing crisis.
Yo!
Agreed, Michelle. Like, what are we talking? Explain it. You know what? You think it's good. Dan, explain it. Show the correlation. Show your work.
Your Honor. Your work.
Please.
Look at the YouTube comments. Yes,
step to the front of the classroom, head to the chalkboard, and show your work. Because what you're doing right now, you're just repeating talking points from, you know, your homies. Can you explain to me how this benefits renters, how this benefits the unhoused, how this benefits people that are seeking affordable housing. Show me how the AI does that, please.
Can't.
Oh, okay.
This says Dan Ryan is a demon. He hates the people. He hates unhoused people, including his brother who died in the streets.
Yikes. Woo. Oh.
Now, everybody knows that this is, in fact, a Dan Ryan hate account here. I take that back. We don't hate here.
We have disdain.
With my fiance, we have deep disdain.
Yeah, daggone right.
Deep disrespect, deep disappointment.
Unapologetic.
Because if you are out here telling me that we are housing market needs to be fixed in the way for profit, while people are literally like the thing that I'll just never understand. To Michelle's point of how can we say this out loud and just like think that could be good. you're You not only understand that there are unhoused people, you are every day in the way of real solutions for those people.
Yeah. Every day.
Every single day you're in the way. But somehow you are able to run on, you are able to chat about, you are able to be like, you know, the livability in this city is just getting to be unbearable. Like, how will we do it? You have this, you know, hyper focus on people that are unhoused as if that is their moral failing and they just won't work or whatever. But do absolutely zero to keep people in their homes. And I won't say absolutely zero. There are obviously programs, but we're not doing enough.
No.
And keeping people housed is the best way to keep people off the street. It's the best way to keep those people who may have manageable mental health issues, to keep them having it manageable. There is an absolute disconnect that people have because they actually do not care about other people and what they go through. And I'm just going to keep saying, if you are a person who chooses to sleep outside, and by that I mean you go camping and that is a fun adventure for you, or a calming adventure for you, or a grounding time for you, you are choosing to be in the elements, right? You are going with different protective gear. You are going with pillows and sleeping bags and so, you know, like...
Heating aids.
Heating...
Like, you know, all types of different...
You might... resources. Even if that heating aid is a box full of pocket warmers, you and the homies are good. You are able to take your life and go somewhere else for a moment. And however you spend that time is how you spend that time. Now, I would say most of the people that I know go camping also go and have a lot of fun. That might be with drinking alcohol. That might be with some other substances. They choose to go to the woods and do these things.
Yeah.
But it's completely outlandish to see a person sleeping outside with no coat, with no jacket, with no or no tent.
No tent.
No heat. No shoes. Socks with holes. Does this look like your camping adventure? Does that look like the same choices being made? If you are forced to sleep outside, and by that I mean outside in a city, there is no lush ground underneath you. There is no canopy of trees above you. If you are forced to sleep outside, you don't sleep.
No.
Your body doesn't relax.
No.
You get no rest.
Mm-mm.
And your body changes. So right now, my parents, housed, fed, or at least would be. My dad is like not eating. He just does. He's not interested. Well, almost ate the microphone. Right. He's not interested. And it's a thing that is tearing me apart because he was a professional athlete. All he did, this man, I've been jealous of his metabolism my entire life because all he do is eat and keep going and burn it.
Putting it down, burning it off.
He understands the concept of food being fuel, right? But he isn't, something has changed and he's not interested. And I bring that up to say, you have no idea what anybody's body is doing.
Yeah.
You have no idea if that person can actually eat, if they can keep food down.
Or what they can.
Or what they can eat.
Yeah, what they're allergic to. None of it.
There's an idea that beggars can't be choosers. Guess who taught us that?
The rich.
I mean, be for real. Beggars can't be choosers. Eat the moldy bread. I'm the Oregon Food Bank. Eat the expired food. You know, can't be a chooser.
What's so horrible about that particular thing is, that particular phrase, is how we, as the populace, the non-rich populace, the working class populace and impoverished populace, have not recycled, but we kind of like, we've owned that.
Reiterate. Yeah. Oh, no, like, for sure.
I've heard myself say that more times than I've ever heard anyone of privilege say it. Ever.
Of course.
Ever.
And that is the point. Yeah. The point is to get you indoctrinated with the idea that you don't deserve more and there couldn't be better if you tried.
Yeah. It comes with a shrug, huh? Well, I guess I got to take this. Beggars can't be choosers. About my own circumstance.
Right.
Yeah.
A thing that you're working on, too.
Yeah.
Like, I went and I did all of these things today, and I did it on time, and I did this stuff. And
Well,
I didn't get that one thing done. They wouldn't help me, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I got the rest done. What? Like, really think that? Who taught you that? Shout out to AJ. I'm assuming I think so. Thank you. Again, there is a community of folks here. Mm-hmm. That understand exactly what I mean to say, and I say it wrong, and they say it better. AJ said, this is an accountability account, and that's exactly what we are.
Hive mind. That's what you guys got going on. It's a hive mind, man.
It is. Yeah. In the best way.
Yeah.
We're not even trying to, like, take over the world in a, you know, misuse of power.
Yeah.
But definitely trying to get folks to jump on board with the
eating the rich.
Well.
Oh, man.
I'd like us all to live a better life.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, you know, all of us getting more of what we all like, more for what we already do. That isn't just deserved. That is like.
Right.
It certainly should be, in my opinion. It certainly should be. We should have more access to the means of our production.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of having to deal with the indoctrination that we have all been bombarded with and have to fight each other about. Instead of the, you know, handful in the grand scheme of things, it's a handful of dudes that continue to perpetrate these systems of oppression. Of course, everybody who benefits certainly continues, you know, to move that along as well.
Yeah, to facilitate it. Yeah.
Certainly, us that don't benefit help to move it along.
Yeah.
That is the point.
That's all we know. Right?
The point,
systems are all we know.
Exactly. But the point is to get those systems to be self-sustaining. Mm. And in order to be self-sustaining, everybody's got to believe in it in a little way.
Need that buy-in.
You got to get that buy-in, baby.
At all levels.
Did you just say get in on the ground level?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it. This is an MLM, baby. If you want to get on the ground level of this oppression, okay? You want to get in now because otherwise you're going to be at the bottom and you're going to be oppressed.
Right.
You want to do the oppressing.
Yeah.
So get in now.
Yeah. We have some openings in middle management right now.
Oof.
That's the level you want to get in on.
Not too much responsibility in the beginning.
Spots below you are filling up fast.
Ooh.
Ah.
I'm telling you.
Ah. Dangerous.
I just want to add, and this absolutely doesn't.
Yeah.
This goes way back to something we were talking about earlier. These are the same people that, you know, claim to care about child sexual predators, but then.
The morally bankrupt.
Yes. That. One of my favorite things, and this is not, I don't love the let's point out all the hypocrisies, because that is a game that never ending story,
circuitous. I guess.
Yeah, exactly, if you will. But I do love the moments of like, all of a sudden they listened to their favorite band and heard something different than they heard before.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, like Rage Against the Machine is woke. They're woke. They're too woke. And they're going to go broke.
Yeah.
Because that's all you can do when you do the DEI. You're gonna woke broke it. As if Rage Against the Machine just doesn't say it number one in the title.
Right.
In the band name. But those songs, who did you think they were raging against? What were the words y'all were hearing?
They thought this was them egging them on to rage against their parents. That was the machine.
Is that?
Parents, okay. And their teachers and the man, but just cops that you know, let me.
Oh, the man is cops for
local
for...
cops. Like, you know, they're always busting us for chilling in parking lots, smoking weed and drinking beers. That's the man. You know, when you're young and the level of oppression that you deal with
is your parents.
Being oppressed, right, by others who are in lower tiers of the system of oppression, that is your ceiling of oppression right there. That is the man. And then once you
get
older... The
man is my mom, yes, who will not buy the pizza rolls if I don't take the garbage out,
yeah,
and stop getting caught smoking weed,
yeah,
with my friends.
Yeah. The man is your dad that won't let you hang out later than you want to on Saturday night.
Your dad will totally let you hang out.
The man.
You know, another thing. I don't even know how to say this. Men do not understand the powers of observation. Mm-hmm. And they only use major observation. Mm-hmm. This is a very broad, general statement.
Not all men. All men.
Not only, because what did I just say? They only use it. And I don't mean that. And I'm not trying to argue about semantics. But my point.
Who is that guy?
Y'all don't be observing nothing. You know how easy it is to manipulate a man if you're a man?
Like, are we talking man-on-man manipulation?
We're talking man-on-man manip.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
It's so easy. I watch it all the time. Like, so you're just, this dude has no idea he's being manipulated right now.
None
whatsoever. He is just bro coding it up.
Yeah, cater to that ego. Take you pretty far.
It's wild. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand any guys that are like, the man is my dad.
Oh. I feel what you're saying now. Nah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, there's too much, there's so much lackadaisical parenting. Mm. And especially if the child is a boy.
I'll tell you this. In my immigrant household.
Different.
My dad was definitely the man.
Your dad is the man in everybody's household. I think you need to know that.
Definitely.
Every man in a household knows that when your dad enters, he's the man of that household. And I don't mean this in like a imposing, scary way. Mm-hmm. There is a calm confidence about your dad that he is just like, I'm clearly the wisest person here.
Listen, and your dad's the same way.
And what I won't do is fool with whatever foolishness you're about to try and give me.
Your dad moves the same way. It's he comes into the room with like, it's definitely it's the level of charisma and confidence is just like boom, right? But it's not rigid, but it still makes you react rigid. Like he comes in like smooth again, ball player gait, like what's going on? But it doesn't relax you. It doesn't make you want to be like, oh, hey. No, it makes you sit up like, hey.
Who's that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. you sit up on the couch. There's no slouching.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Nah. No. I don't know how it was for any of your classmates or any, you know, any of the guys that you grew up with, but I know how it was for me. It was like, okay, you're allowed to be chill. I'm going to be rigid because I don't know what's coming next. I need to be quick on my feet. You know? It could go this way or that way. Just be ready because this guy throws curveballs.
All the time. Literally all the time.
Oh, my God. Did we take another break real quick?
I think we get a little music break. Yeah. Story? Then we go to Hillsborough.
All right. We'll catch y'all in a couple of seconds. And we are back. Welcome back to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and the one DJ Ambush.
That's me.
Yeah. Right here at X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. Okay.
Well, this is breaking news. Before you read your story, I just want to say that we've received a text message.
Oh.
That says, I'd be here for a Morgan World takeover. And I'm just going to say this about that.
What are you going to say about that?
It's time. The time is now. That's all I needed. I've got a couple of people ready to be a part of this coven, and that's all that you do. Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I don't need to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Powerful, small cabal. That's what you guys are working on?
Huh? Wouldn't use any of the words you just used. Not one.
Okay, fine.
Fine. What are they called? Oh, I'd say Omega level.
Oh, wow. Oh. She is just tossing the lingo around. But yeah, that's, I mean, you're definitely giving off Omega levels.
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, you're definitely giving that off.
Yep, because I got the best, you know? Anyway.
All right, so.
Take me to Hillsborough.
Yeah. The Hillsborough City Council unanimously declared a state of emergency Tuesday, condemning what it called the misuse of immigration enforcement following the high-profile mistaken detention of a local resident. The resolution, which takes effect immediately, criticizes federal immigration authorities for detaining and deporting individuals who were lawfully present in the United States and signals the city's intent to take further action. The declaration comes just weeks after the detention of Hillsborough resident Victor Cruz, whose case drew widespread attention and led to mounting calls for the city to intervene. Mayor Beach Pace emphasized that the emergency declaration is largely symbolic but reflects the urgency residents feel as federal immigration enforcement activity increases across the community. A November 4th council meeting drew more than 3 hours of emotional testimony from business owners, advocates, and children calling for the city to do more. Among those urging action was Bridget Cook, co-founder of Adelante Mujeres, which supports low-income Latina women and families. Cook described immigrant communities living in fear, avoiding doctor's appointments, work, and even leaving their homes. Her organization has ramped up Know Your Rights training and post-detention support as families brace for potential encounters with immigration authorities. It's heartbreaking to see how cruel the implications are for these families, she said. In response to community pressure, the city recently allocated $200,000 in grant funding to support residents and businesses affected by federal immigration operations. But advocates and educators say additional steps are needed. Adrian Smith, a counselor at Brookwood Elementary, told counselors that school staff have been helping families afraid to venture outside. Mm-hmm. We as educators are creating safe spaces for folks to get groceries and doing grocery shopping for families, as ICE is hiding in grocery store parking lots, she said. During a work session, counselors reviewed proposals that included establishing a civil and human rights office and creating a system to track detained residents in collaboration with community groups. While no decisions were finalized, officials signaled that discussions will continue in the coming weeks as Hillsborough considers stronger measures to protect its immigrant communities. I just saw a story yesterday a Dutch brother in Hillsborough, where ICE agents ran up on someone who was at the window, and guns were drawn, and it scared the Dutch brothers employees so much that they all fled into the bathroom and locked themselves in the bathroom and called 911 on the ICE agents. There's a bunch of, discourse around how the 911 operator responded, which is one thing. But just seeing that footage, just seeing that as they were playing the call over, it was just like, whoa. And I get tired of asking, where are we? How are we here? All of that. It's clear. I know where we are. I know how we got here.
Yeah.
Everyone's comfortable with it. To be able to see communities push back like this, we see the marches, the groups that are mentioned at the city council meeting, business owners, advocates, children. I want to harp on business owners for a little while too, because these are the people that we're being told this is being done for.
Hello.
This is the community that we want to make your community safer. We want to help these businesses. We want to get these.
How can your community be safe if you can't do consumerism?
Right.
So we got to make sure that those businesses are running up and running at all times, making a profit, keeping you employed.
Right. How safe? what's the level of safety that we're looking for? If communities feel as though they're under siege right now, who are you actually protecting?
Which they are.
Right. Who are you actually protecting with these policies and these practices?
Just got to be real clear.
Yeah.
There's no other way to look at that other than under siege. Like, I'm seeing a lot of ICE agents do things off duty that that they were doing when they were off duty when they worked at Taco Bell.
Right.
But you are now supposed to be like some sort of deputized law enforcement or whatever. And these people are out here, no training, they're drunk, they're getting completely hammered as soon as they get off of a 12-hour shift. And their 12-hour shift is playing Call of Duty with real people.
Yeah.
There's zero reason you would need to pull guns on someone getting a coffee. There's zero reason you need to pull guns and show up and jumping out of your trucks to someone who's going to work or somebody who is going to court.
Or picking their kids up at school.
Or picking their kids up from school.
They keep acting like, and I'm glad you used Call of Duty as the comparison, because they keep acting like they're showing up
to an active war zone.
Yeah, active shooting, active anything. You are the one that is jumping out, surprising people, catching them off guard in situations
where... You're trying to black bag folks. You're trying to throw them in vans.
Right, in situations where they're shopping, working, going to school.
If you're going to court, in or out, I'm not doing anything on the illegal. I'm
definitely not
following
armed.
The process.
Definitely not armed in the courthouse.
Certainly cannot be armed in the courthouse. I do have to mention this text message that we got. It's going to go back a little bit, but it is important. And the context here would be that someone said, I'd be here for a Morgan World takeover.
Right.
And then Rudo, who is already on restriction for his previous text message that will not be read aloud.
I love it.
The absolute unmitigated gall to then say, then the Morgan resistance has begun. All caps. And then all caps again. Sir, let me tell you about your losing battle.
Oh, Rudes.
Resisting me is a silly thing to do.
Ooh.
I am inevitable.
Oh, hit you a little Thanos.
That's me.
That's what his friends call him.
Almost.
You got to really know the guy. Yeah, come on.
Get to travel with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spend some time.
Yeah.
Some time
get
with
on
the Black
the baddie
Order.
Jet.
You gotta know. You gotta know.
Can I tell you this?
Give it to me.
Sorry. I play the NYT word games every day. I don't play all of them. I've never played Sudoku in my life. Mm-hmm. So I don't need anybody who's a Sudoku master. I hope I'm saying it even right. I don't need you asking me, do I play that one or the tiles or something? Mm-hmm. No, I don't. But the Spelling Bee and Pips are my favorite. That's not the point of this. Spelling Bee, the words that, like, they update what words are acceptable, mm-hmm. but it's not like they tell you, right?
Mm-hmm. You just see it.
Well, if you create it and then it goes.
Oh, okay. Got you.
So I jokingly did the word baddie and screenshot it. Yeah. Baddie. Mm-hmm. And screenshot it because I was going to send it to you and Bree and be like, But it didn't take it, right? And this was a while ago. Yesterday, the word baddie.
Stop it.
Acceptable.
Stop it.
That's in the hilarious. NYT Spelling Bee.
They know what they're doing.
Well, I just want to know who's over there. Natalie Nunn. Ooh, resisting. AJ, let's go. Come on. Oh, my text just disappeared.
It said resisting Morgan means resisting AJ. And I'm vicious.
Hello.
Back down, Rudo.
And this is what it looks like. Okay?
Rudes, now look where we are. Now we got to go ride bikes. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, y'all got to get out of here.
We got to hop off the porch and get out of here.
I know where you work. I know where your friends live. I know your favorite, your local haunt.
Hello.
Huh?
Oh,
I'll find you, Rudo.
That's hilarious.
And I'll give you a big old hug.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I had another thing that I just thought of, and then, of course, immediately out of my head. But, you know, we do have things to look forward to.
Yes.
The EP files are on their way.
Yeah.
Whether remixed, redacted. Planted, unplanted. Who knows what we'll get?
You're going to get the Jazzy Fizzle remix of the Epstein Files.
The Biggie Duets.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So he signed it last night, apparently.
Yeah, he signed the law, you know, that he was like, this is a Democrat hoax. This is a hoax that absolutely doesn't do. Who's talking about Epstein? You guys still talking about that guy?
AJ said, we got cars and credit. Your bikes are no worry. And then Rudo says, is Tom Hartman on yet?
Tom's warming up, okay? Oh, he's getting ready.
My
damn,
days.
Rudo.
My days.
You're trying to get us fired for real, for real. Yeah, so he signed the bill, or the bill, and then he signed the law.
Okay.
You know, to release the EP files. And I just, you know, I think that there is something to be said about the, yeah, go ahead and release it. It's a hoax and nothing's happening. And you guys could have all seen. We actually already gave you all this information earlier in a binder. If you'll remember, we gave it to influencers. And then there was nothing in that binder, but there were words on pages. And so that means that the files were released and that now this is a hoax and we don't have to talk about. I don't even know how to pronounce that guy's name. Is it Steen? Is it Stein? Unsure. He's
never
dead.
Met him.
Who cares? Never met him. Best friend. Haven't seen him in years. Dirtbag. Love him to death. You know?
Yeah. This you know, this works for him. It gets MAGA off his back. You know? He has fulfilled his commitment to releasing them. So, yeah, now he can move on. It doesn't matter what version comes out. Doesn't matter, you know, how redacted or edited or any of that, he can now move on to something else.
stealing the rest of our money.
Yay! So good.
I don't appreciate that the media is calling this like a stunning reversal or whatever. Nothing that Trump does is actually stunning.
No, it shouldn't.
Well, no, that's not fair.
Definitionally,
I've been stunned. But
okay,
what I mean by that.
It's not overall, it's not surprising behavior.
Right.
The things are stunning, but his behavior, none of this is surprising.
Exactly. It's like, how much did I expect this to happen? 100%. But also, there is something.
Because,
anyway,
go ahead.
I just want to say that this is his entire time that we have known his name is a stunning reversal. Everything. You are a wealthy, successful businessman who's bankrupt every day. You are a wealthy, successful businessman that refuses to pay for anything. You are, you know, like, all of them are stunning reversals, if you ask me. All of them is just hypocrisy. Like, this isn't a reversal. His entire lie from the beginning was release it. Right? Like, this is just a return, if you will.
There it is. Right back to start.
We're right back to the start. But what I would love for them to focus on is what happened on the in-between. Because in the in-between, you went from, this is incredibly important and we got to get this information out because the pedophiles are trying to run the country and we will not stand it.
Mm-hmm.
You're running the country. But we won't stand for it.
Yeah.
To, this is a hoax. This thing, we still talking about this? Why y'all bringing up old stuff? This is so weird. This is all finished. It's a hoax, blah, blah, blah. Actually, yeah, it looks like there might be files to release. And then what I think he's, you know, the move is having Pam Bondi start to investigate any of the Democrats who are named means it's an open investigation, means files are not able to be distributed, means heaviest of redactions. You're getting the words the and from on one page.
Yep.
And this is the kind of like, you know, plan that Big Balls comes up with sitting around the table and everyone is like, whoa. That's the move.
Yeah. And it's super effective because his base doesn't care about facts at all.
No, they super care effective. Only about feelings.
Yeah. It's he's created such an atmosphere around himself now where the truth is, you know, it's just a game. It really is. For him, and he's never held, you know, never held to his own words.
Right.
For him to be like, you know, as of last week and, you know, some of this week, to be like, barely knew the guy, barely spent any time with him. It's like,
never heard
of him. All we've seen is the video footage and the photographs. And like, there's so much evidence to the contrary of that, that the idea of you saying that to us is like, what? Well, wait a minute. And then it never comes back. Well, Mr. President, you're saying you've never really hung out with this video. You know this video's out. You've seen it and been upset about it. How did this get out? You've said several times. Why do they keep playing this?
Right.
You know, like, this is, so why are you, like, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Like, what?
Bruh.
But you know what?
We did it!
Did it. That is another amazing show. Thank you all so much. The show is brought to you by Morgan Jones and One DJ Ambush and our illustrious podcast editor, Carl J. Residual Audio. I have updated the playlist and Kyle's going to throw all the texts in. Thank you everyone that joined us this morning.
Thank y'all.
Y'all are the bomb.
Always.
A-A-A.
Rudo's on restriction.
Rudo's on restricts.
Yep.
Man, busy weekend. If you want to come kick it,
Oh, yeah.
We have a toy drive. Mm-hmm. We have a toy drive that we're doing with Equitable Giving Circle at No Request this Sunday, which also happens to be our Wu-Tang tribute. So, you know what I'm
saying? Wu-Tang loves the kids. EGC loves the kids. Ambush and Cliff love the kids.
It's true.
Show up. This is not a, you know, McDonald's or Walgreens or whatever roundup situation would you like to round up so that we can donate something and get all the credit for it. This is really all about making sure the kids get some things.
For true.
It really is.
For true.
This is, and when I say kids, I don't mean Ambush.
Yeah. Not this time, guys.
Not this time. Even if you throw in some action figures, they do not go to Ambush.
They don't. They go to the children.
And if you want him to have one, you have to, that's separate.
Yeah, you just put that on. Just bring it to the DJ booth.
Okay.
Separately. It's a separate situation, what I'm just saying, you know?
Wow. It's time for us to
second
close.
Right of refusal. Okay.
Tom's on.
Yeah, you got to get Tom on. Thank you guys so much. Also, yes, busy weekend.
Yeah, sorry.
At the museum. I will be.
Portland Art Museum. Reopening.
Yeah, it's a reopening. I have all this information on my Instagram. You can go there and check it out if you're interested in any of that. But yeah.
We should have said something about the art museum opening. No, yeah. Like that. This is a pretty big deal. Rothko Pavilion.
Looks amazing.
Things are happening.
The Black Art Experience. Mm. Bay.
Talk to him.
Hello.
Love me in acronym. Amazing. Okay.
But don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you Monday night on the YouTubes from 6:30 to 8:30. Love y'all.
Man. No war but class war. Bye.